Tonight we're going to take a few moments before the Lord's table and preach from this passage of Hebrews chapter 12, and then we'll observe the Lord's table, and next Sunday I have a special message pertaining to what I just kind of visited about with respect to our fall season, and then the following Sunday night we have a new series on the family. But tonight we're going to have the Lord's table, and this is always a very special time for me personally, and I hope it is for you personally too. I mean, this is something that Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. So it's given from him to us, and it's something that we want to just address with a soberness of mind. But also, it's special to me because this is the Sunday night service before we start kind of moving along into our fall season, and we do have a lot of guests coming in and so forth. And so this is an opportunity for us to, just as a church family, kind of focus on the Lord. And I think this past, Brother Saria, it's fine, brother. You can just come in. You're good. Thank you. But I think this is just an opportunity for us to kind of focus right now just on the Lord Jesus Christ. This past Wednesday night, we had a very special season of prayer. And tonight, we have a very special opportunity just to focus on the Lord. It's kind of been a little busy tonight, people coming in, coming out. So ushers, help me now with that. The young people that just walked out from here a minute ago that had the rope or whatever dangling, don't let them come back in and do that when I start preaching, please. They can interrupt once, but not twice. Okay, Brother Lee, if they come down your way, or some of you men in the back, please help me. And not trying to be unkind, but I'm going to try to preach for the next 20 or 30 minutes and point you to Jesus. And it's kind of apparent to me that through the spiders or whatever else, somebody doesn't want us focusing tonight. And so I just would appreciate some help and some prayers as we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and try to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let us pray. Father, tonight we thank you for the opportunity once again to sing and even just to kind of talk about the upcoming season in this church. And now, Lord, as we open your word, I do really pray, Lord, that you would help us to see past any distractions or to look past anything that would just kind of distract our minds. Help us to focus on you tonight, Lord, as we're about to partake of the table that you set before us. And help us to really ponder the meaning of it. And help us to draw near to you tonight in worship. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 28 years ago, we began our first full fall season here at Lancaster Baptist Church. I did not necessarily have some of the tools that we have now. We certainly didn't have staff. We certainly didn't have equipment. But we had a passion to know Christ and to make him known. In fact, our theme that particular year, that particular fall, as we headed into the fall and moved into our first full year, the theme was looking toward heaven in 87. I know that sounds a little trite today, but for me, in that first full year of my first pastorate, it was my heart's desire that we would look to Christ. And the theme verse was Colossians, that we would set our affection on the things that are above. 28 years later, that's my desire tonight, that we would be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I can tell you that in 28 years of running my race, there's been more than one time when the devil would like to get me or get you looking elsewhere and not focusing as we should on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I can also tell you that every time I focus on the Lord, it seems like everything else comes into order. In 1987, we were struggling to keep our buildings. We had no denomination to back us financially. We had no one to bail us out. We had a very gloomy outlook, and so all we really had was the uplook to seek the Lord and to find that He was all that we really needed. And that's what we did, and that's what we do tonight. The Bible challenges us tonight in verse number 2 with this phrase, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the word look here teaches us that we are to look away from everything else, and we are to look to Him with a single eye. We are to intently focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say again tonight that there is an adversary that does not want our attention focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But as the writer of Hebrews is coming toward the end of this book, he is reminding those who would read this book and those original recipients that they were to focus intently on Christ. Matthew 6:22 says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" In other words, if we have a single focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an illuminated pathway. We have God lighting the way for us. And I just say to you tonight that in this dark world, we need all the light we can get. And that light comes from focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we come to the fall of 2014. Our theme this year is renew. And sometimes we need to renew our spiritual sight. A few weeks ago, I had to go in and get my eyes checked. And I always know when it's time to do that because I'm having to hold books closer and closer, and you know what I'm talking about. And I find myself always squinting at stuff I shouldn't be squinting at. And you go in there, and they put you in that little machine, and they say, "Now we're going to shoot air right into your eyeballs, and just be ready for that." And it's going to startle you a little bit. And I don't know why. They always tell me it's going to startle me, and it always startles me. Little glaucoma test or whatever that is. And then they bring you in there and they put you in that machine and they wind everything around this way and this way and they ask you if you can see better and they ask you to try to read the bottom line. And I don't know if you're like me, I just start guessing, you know, and NYXFQ, you know, just kind of saying letters like a charismatic who thinks they know how to talk in tongues. Just kind of guessing about it, you know. And when the whole process is over, your eyesight is helped by a newly focused prescription that is given to you that enables you to see more clearly. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, whether you've been a member here 28 years or 28 minutes, every single person's spiritual eyesight has a tendency to dim. You get those little floaters in your eyes spiritually. Where at one time you're focused so well on Jesus Christ, you kind of have the floaters and you kind of have the eye disease and you kind of have the issues with spiritual sight, so that at one time you saw Him so clearly and now there's things that kind of distract and other things that look good and other ideas and so forth that come in. And so the theme that I chose for this year, which we are still enjoying and entering now into a very important season, is renew, because I really sensed in my heart that our church in many ways needed a renewal of our vision for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were honest tonight, you'd say sometimes you need to sit down with the Word of God and get your eyes fixed on Jesus and take some time to refocus. For example, for some of you, 10 years ago, there was no question whether or not you'd be involved in some outreach effect, in some outreach program and soul winning. But 10 years later, it's a little blurry in your mind whether or not that's a priority. I would suggest that you might want to ask the Lord to give you a clearer vision of the world tonight. from his perspective. And tonight, as we look at verse number 2, I want you to notice the passage that says, looking unto Jesus. And I want you to see, first of all, tonight, the call that is given to us to focus on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many reasons to do this. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And oftentimes in this day of counseling and psychiatry and tranquilizers and medicines, all of which may have their place, sometimes what we as Christians need first and foremost is a renewed focus on Jesus Christ. We need to come back to focusing on the Lord, because he will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. And I want you to think about Jesus tonight. Think about the fact that he planned our redemption. Jesus Christ, in verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The word author means that he was the chief leader of, he was the predecessor of, the pioneer of, he began, he thought of, he implemented the whole process of our faith and of our salvation. And think about it tonight, Jesus Christ ordained our redemption. Jesus Christ made it possible, Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken. In other words, this matter of Jesus dying on the cross, it didn't catch Jesus by surprise. It wasn't some accidental thing that took place. Jesus laid down his life, and the script had been written in the predeterminate counsel of God. It was something that was planned. He was the author of it. Now he was living it out, yes, but he had determined this in eternity past. He is the author of our faith, 1 Peter 1 and 19, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. You see, the matter of Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, that was a foreordained, a pre-plan. Jesus is the author of our faith. He's the one that wrote the plan of salvation. Hey, we might write little pamphlets. We might write little books. We might write little ways to try to explain it in today's vernacular, but make no mistake, he authored the plan of our salvation, and he provided for our salvation. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down by myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'm telling you tonight, Jesus Christ has all power over heaven and earth. He has power to lay down his life. He has power to take up his life. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I want to say something tonight. Everything we're doing here, every track, every song, every offering, every time we take the Lord's table, every lesson that's taught at Lancaster Baptist School or at West Coast Baptist College, it's all for and about and because of and by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. It's all about him. And we need to remember that sometimes. And we need to look up to him and be reminded he planned our redemption. And he paid for our redemption. He endured the cross, the Bible says. Notice that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. When you put the wafer to your mouth tonight and you remember his broken body, just remember that he endured the cross for you. He could have called 10,000 angels and said, take me away, but he stayed. He endured the cross for you. 1 Peter 1, 2:21, for even hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He was reviled, but he reviled not again. He threatened, and yet he threatened not. He committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. You see, Jesus Christ endured the cross. And may I say tonight that he endured not only the cross, but he endured the contradiction, the suffering, the revilement of this world. The Bible says something amazing in verse number 3. Notice it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I'm amazed at how many people have a little mistreatment by another Christian, and they quit the faith, or they decide on another denomination, or they start another chapter of some little group of people that had a difficult time. I just want to tell you something tonight. Every Christian's going to have difficult times. I don't like that. It's not pleasant. But notice again verse 3. Would you read it with me, please? And just think about these words, because this is biblical counsel to us. Notice Hebrews 12:3. Ready to begin. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against, lest ye be wearied. That's where it starts, in your mind. Now, it can affect your health, believe me. But it starts in your mind. You get weary in your mind. You get tired of the traffic, tired of the hypocrites, tired of this, tired of that. Why does Jesus let this happen? I should have it a little better than this. But I just want you to think about what Jesus endured. Before we throw in the towel, just think about it for a moment. He endured what Herod did to him in Luke 13, 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And Jesus Christ was constantly hunted by the Roman authorities and hunted by the Sadducees and Pharisees. And throughout his 3.5 year ministry, he was contradicted constantly by them. And yet he endured that so that we might be saved. Satan tempted him. Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these rocks into stone. Constantly, Satan fought the Lord Jesus Christ, constantly tempting and trying the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was called a liar and a blasphemer. John 8:48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus was accused of having a devil. Jesus was called every name in the book, John 10:20. And many of them said, he hath a devil in his man. Why hear ye him? I'm just saying tonight, when you feel like you've had someone slam the door in your face, when some Christian didn't treat you real well, when you think somebody wasn't as nice as they should have been, or said something that should not have been said in that particular way, I want to draw your attention to Hebrews 12:3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And I understand sometimes to say, well, I'll tell you what, I've just had it up to here, and this and that has not gone right, but consider him. I want to remind you that Herod was not kind. The Pharisees were not kind. The Roman soldiers were not kind. Judas Iscariot was not kind, but consider him. Sometimes it's hard to understand all the vitriolic language and unchristian behavior and indignant people. Sometimes it's hard to understand the pressures of life. But one thing that we can do is look back up to the cross and remember that Jesus endured it all so that we might be saved. We've got to focus on the cross. We've got to come back to the teaching of 1 Peter 4:1. For then as much as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. In other words, when you're going through a time of trial, that's an opportunity for us to die to self. It's really hard to be involved in dying to self and through a time of suffering, focus on Jesus and still sin at the same time. If we'll just keep considering him, if we'll keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The battle begins in the mind. That's why we must have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 9:23, he said unto us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I often have told you the story of Dr. Bobby Robertson, who pastors one of the great churches in the state of North Carolina. At age 29, Brother Bobby was having some good things happen in the church. People were being saved, but there just were some folks that were unkind, some difficulties, some contradiction had come his way and began to play on his mind, began to affect his heart. Strong man, came from a family of tobacco growers. He said, we didn't know it was wrong to grow tobacco till John R. Rice came to our church and preached against it. I've been on Robertson Farm Road. I've seen the old tobacco warehouses. But God called him to preach, and he was the first generation preacher out of that family, and some trials and difficulties came into his life, and you've perhaps heard him tell the story. How he came to the place of having a nervous breakdown. He was in the hospital. He He just could not get out of the bed. He had so much difficulty and so much had overcome him in his life at that particular moment. A couple of the men from the church came to visit him. He thought maybe that it would be a time of comfort and encouragement. Instead of comfort, of encouragement, they said to him, "It seems like you ought to know by now that God's done with you. Seems pretty obvious to us that God's hand is not on you," they told him. Bobby Robertson, when he got out of that hospital, he still felt in his heart that God had called him to preach. He still felt God called him to be the pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church. And he came to Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. And for several weeks, he just sat in a chair while he preached. That's all he could do. Just kind of read some verses and said some comments and prayed. Someone else took care of the other things. That's about all he could do. But he never took his eyes off the Lord. And as he kept his eyes on the Lord, and as he endured the contradiction and the difficulty and the comments and the trials that came his way, he found that God never left him and the Lord continued to sustain him. And the difficulties passed away and some of the difficult people passed away. And God began to bless that church and add to that church by the hundreds and by the thousands and by the hundreds of acres and by the building after building. And when I was there a few years ago, here's a man nearly 80 years of old walking me through their new gym and their new kitchen, the largest commercial kitchen of its kind in their state, and it's all to the glory of God. And it's simply to say, if we'll keep on looking unto Jesus, if we'll focus on the cross, if we'll consider the contradiction that he endured, we can endure contradiction and be faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things we want to do tonight is just take whatever burdens we might have and look to the cross and just remember that our Savior, he's already been there. He's already borne the burdens. He understands. Focus on the cross. Secondly, tonight I want you to focus on his compassion. Not only on his cross, the cross of Christ, the burdens that he bore, but just focus for a minute on the compassion that he had for us. Look at verse 2 again. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, what was the joy that was set before him? No doubt the joy that was set before him has something to do with his fellowship that he would have with the Father when this amazingly brutal and painful ordeal was over. He would be with the Father. But I believe there was another joy that Jesus had in his heart and his mind, and that was the joy of seeing millions and millions of people redeemed by the blood that he would shed. See, I believe that when Jesus was on the cross, the world was on his heart. And that it was compassion that held him there, not the nails of the Roman soldiers, but the love of God held him there. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, came to seek and to save the lost. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was motivated and constrained by the love that he had for us. And his compassion caused him to look to see those that would be saved. And I believe that as we enter this fall season, we need to say, "Lord, give me that compassion. Help me to see people with the love that you have for them. Help me to remember your commission to go and teach others likewise. Help me, Lord, to realize that as the Father sent you, you have sent us. And help me to have the same compassion that you have." Jesus looked on the multitudes and he wept when he saw them. Sometimes we see the multitudes and we get ticked off. We want the traffic to move. Honestly, we see the multitude sometimes as simply a problem. There's not a person in this room that would ever claim that they're prejudiced. No one ever claims that. But how often have you tried to witness to your neighbor that's not like you? When was the last time you did what my wife did recently and just baked a bunch of loaves of bread and took them around and gave a gospel tract? You see, when you focus on his compassion, it always makes you more compassionate. And Jesus endured that contradiction because of his love for sinners and for the joy that was set before him. You know, I believe when people get baptized, it's something to get happy about. I believe when people are saved, it's something to rejoice about. And we ought to be anticipating even now the joy that comes when lives are changed. Focus on His cross tonight. Focus on His compassion. Then notice thirdly in this text, focus on His cause. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was His cause? What was the cause of Jesus Christ as He endured the cross, as He despised the shame, and He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father? I believe His cause was the church. I believe that He was living and dying so that others and that the world might know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tonight, everybody lives for a cause, and we see that all around us, and we see that there are those that live for the cause of Hollywood, and there are those that live for the cause of rap music, and there are those that are living for the cause of some jihadist men. Mentality tonight. There are those that live for the cause of sports, and Jerry Rice lived for football, and Kobe Bryant for the cause of basketball, and Carl Sagan for the cause of evolution, and Madeline Murray O'Hare for the cause of atheism, and there are those such as Rush Limbaugh who live for the cause of conservatism. But where are the people who live for the cause of Jesus Christ, the cause of redemption? I'm glad that I'm a part of a church that affords us the opportunity to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. His cause was to finish the work of redemption. I want you to see that, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God that is in the finishing business? He's the finisher of our faith. Jesus said, I will build my church. That's something that you can bank on. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the fact of the matter is that there is a cause that Jesus Christ set out, He began, and He is working that cause now, and He is finishing that cause now, and we thank Him for it. And He is going to make peace, Colossians 1 and verse 20, through the cross, that by Him He will reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether things in earth or things in heaven. My God is in the reconciliation business, and He is in that cause, in that business of reconciling men unto the Father. And so His cause is to finish the work of redemption. But also His cause was to provide for our mediation, to provide a way of access that we might have access to God, the Heavenly Father. Notice what it says there in verse 2. And He is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. At the right hand of God the Father. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4 for just a moment. As we think about His cause, the cause of redemption and the cause of mediation. Jesus finished the cause of redemption on the cross of Calvary. How many of you are glad that it is finished? Amen. We're not here tonight hoping to get enough brownie points with God to go to heaven. We already have salvation by grace. Thank God for that. So the work of redemption is finished. But the work of mediation is ongoing. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now notice the phrase here, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You see, we have a Savior that is the mediator between God and man. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the mediator. He has finished the work. He is seated at the right hand of God the Heavenly Father, and there He is making intercession for us. You may come with a broken heart, and He's there, and He understands. You may come with a great need, and He's there, and He understands. And Satan may come with an accusation, and Jesus is there with His work of redemption, and He is there with forgiveness for us and with a work that continually speaks on our behalf. But the Bible says we have a great high priest. My friend, tonight, thank God you don't have to go to a confessional booth. You don't have to go to some man and confess the sin that you have done. You can come boldly to the throne of grace because Jesus Christ died for our redemption and Jesus Christ died for our mediation. And when you need access to the Father, you don't have to come timidly or apologetically, but you come boldly, not because we're worthy, but because of what we're about to partake of tonight, the juice. When that juice touches your lips, just remember, Jesus shed his blood on the cross for your sin and mine. Because the blood was shed, we can come boldly into the presence of our God. And Jesus Christ has made the way. Remember, he's the author, he's the finisher. What he started to do, he finished on Calvary, and now because of that finished work, we can come boldly to him. Tonight as we partake of the Lord's table, I want you to focus on the cross. Remember that Jesus shed his blood there. I want you to focus on the compassion of Christ. Focus on his love and ask him to make you more compassionate. And then I want you to focus on his cause. His cause is the redemption of this world. His cause is that we might be able to come boldly to him, that we might be able to pray to him. And for many of us tonight, that includes even coming to him and asking the Lord to search our hearts, making sure there's nothing between our soul and our Savior before we partake of these elements tonight. Making sure that we're right with him. For the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Make sure that we lay that iniquity aside. Make sure that we give it to the Lord, for he has already cleansed it with his precious blood. Tonight's a wonderful night in the month of August to have a clean slate as we begin the fall season. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. And in just a moment, as we have our invitation time, this would be a good time to bring whatever is going on in your life and put it in the light of the cross and to come boldly to the Lord, to lay aside the sin and the weight that's besetting you, to give him the burden that's holding you down and look at it all in the light of the cross and then partake of the elements and with a new heart for the Lord, serve him this fall.